Good morning, this is Helen.
Hello, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Do I need to speak up or?
No, you're good. You're ready to rock and roll.
Okay, okay. Is this a test run or is this the actual show?
No,
I mean, podcast.
Man, it's really, we in the mix right now. Everything you're saying right now is being recorded.
Okay.
Ms. Helen. I want to,
yes.
Thank you for getting on the podcast. You are the first female, non-white female, to be on the podcast, man. So I just want to give you big ups on that.
Thank you. Congratulations for starting. You should have been, it's like a long time ago, but okay.
You know, I'm a procrastinator. I understand that. And so, it kind of just opened up, and then, you know, I guess technology prevailed. See, I see the more and more technology becomes, how should I say? It becomes more singular, like singularity. The more and more, you know, it's easier, the more lazy you be, the better technology is becoming. So.
Yes, correct. I understand. I would read your post and I'd be like, okay, you have to explain a little more. So it's good that you have the podcast because now you're able to explain the stuff that you're posting. I understood because, you know, Mr. Fuller, you know,
we're there.
And I got the book. Right. So I understand. Right. But other people don't. And I understand why they don't.
Yeah. So, well, you know what, you already understand the format we'll be talking about. And, please, man, how do we deal with this, or how are we surviving? We're not surviving. You know, a lot of people, man, there's a lot of people being like, man, it's not even that serious. There was a guy that I spoke earlier in the earlier podcast. He started out, man, that's not even an issue, man. White supremacy is not even an issue for me. But then we kind of ultimately, if you listen, as we go through the conversation, he's like, you know what? You might be right, man. So,
yeah, a lot of people, you know, they're brainwashed, they're confused, brainwashed, right?
Okay, yeah, man.
Keep going. They're brainwashed, they're confused. It's years and years and years of programming. Like, it's a lot of stuff that I'm looking at now that when I think back in the day, and I'm like, oh man, I didn't even see that. Like, Disney and Bugs Bunny and, you know, those cartoons from back in the day. I didn't see it. I really didn't see it. I laughed with everybody else. I'm just now seeing it, and I'm over 18, and I'm just now seeing everything.
Wow. Do you think that there's a chance that we will be out of this, like everyone's gonna come and wake up about what's going on. Like, is that gonna happen?
My honest, the more and more I talk to non-white people, you know, the few questions that I do ask of non-white people about racism, I'm gonna say no. It's slowly, a very small group of us, but no, it's kind of dire. It's kind of sad, a little depressing.
That's a real word. The word depressing, you're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. What has been your experience? Like, what has been kind of the best practices as it relates to the system of white supremacy? What has been some of the best practices to help minimize some of the mistreatment and subjugation that you have already been experiencing?
Being honest. Like Gus says, being honest with myself, with others, just being honest, you know, being honest. Okay, this is mistreatment. This is what it is. Not fooling myself and, you know, trying to say it's something else, make excuses. No, it is what it is. And accepting that.
And when you and in regards of being honest, to be just to kind of be a little bit more have clarification, what do you mean by being honest? Like, give me an example. What do you mean by when you're saying being honest?
When I'm being mistreated, when I clearly, visibly, I'm in New York. and I ride the train. And
true.
You know how the trains are in New York. They're packed in the morning and stuff like that. And white people, they act like I'm not there. Like, they're constantly bumping into me. Like, I'm a big person. I mean, I'm not humongous, but I'm not small by any means. There's no reason why you should be bumping into me. There's no reason why you can't be considerate of the people around you. And I noticed that when it comes to non-white people, they're just like, whatever. Like, move out the way. You're just an object. You're just a thing. I'm acknowledging, you know, it is what it is. They don't see me as a person.
So white people don't see you as a person, and non-white people don't see you as a person.
No, no, no. Non-white people, they... Oh, there is...
all right. Okay, we're going to unpack. We got a little bit of time, so breathe. You know what I'm saying? One thing that is important I've always expressed and say, man, when two non-white people are talking about this isn't white supremacy, there's going to be some anxiety. And there's going to be some confusion.
Confusion and frustration. Don't forget frustration.
Yeah, frustration. That's all part of the emotion. So that's okay, man. We're going to take our time. Man. We're going to take our time.
When it comes to non-white people and the mistreatment, it's just that anti-blackness, you know, that hostility that is so sad. So I just, you know, like Mr. Fuller says, no contact, no conflict. So I just pull away. Whenever I find myself in a situation where the person is angry for no reason, you know, just being rude, I pull back.
And you pull back because it'll wind up kind of developing.
Escalating, you know, next thing you know, we're cursing at each other. We don't need that. We need to focus. And the focus needs to be on them, not on each other. I'm not against you. I didn't do anything to you. I'm just here. I'm living like you. Yes.
So why were non-white people? Why do we do that with each other? Like, why? What is that? What is that?
The anti-blackness.
Yeah. Why do black people or non-white people, particularly black folks, why do we have that among each other? Why? And just to kind of, because there's other people listening. You made a reference about Fuller. And so just to kind of give a little bit of background, which you're speaking about the independent compensatory code.
Correct.
Created by Neely Fuller. And in that book, he speaks about trying to deal with the issue of black-on-black violence, particularly. And so he said was that to minimize the conflict, you must minimize contact.
That's right. And I found that to be the best advice. I have cut down so much on drama from following that right there. He is spot on with that right there. I'll talk to you on the phone. I'll visiting. No, hanging out. No. No, thank you. I'll talk to you on the phone.
Yeah. Now the additive piece, the extra piece to that is that when there is going to be contact that is under a constructive premise, or there's an agreed upon constructive agenda before coming in contact with each other, because ultimately what he's saying is that whenever non-white people get together without a constructive agenda,
it's drama.
It follows.
It's bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. No. What winds up happening, it follows this kind of trend where it starts out as being tacky. Mm. Then from it
tacky,
being
trashy. Tacky, trashy, terroristic. Yes. Amen, brother. Yes. Amen.
And then because of the trashiness and the experience of it being trashy, someone is going to be offended. And then the next piece is terroristic.
That's right. You know? That's right.
And you know what? And you know what's funny? Because that is true. Every single person who is not white, when they come in contact with each other and they don't have a prescribed constructive thing, it's gonna be tacky. And you know, I was explaining that one time. So if you ever meet somebody and as soon as you meet them, you start catching up and they start telling you all the business. They start telling you everything that you missed. They start telling who's been with who. The gossip and the drama. And after a while, that conversation, that how they've been conversing, is extremely tacky. There's some tacky stuff being mad. Did you know he's fucking at home?
They're getting loud.
Right. And then because of that tackiness, someone is going to get trashy. So then now in that conversation of talking about who slept who did with what, who stole what, did you know whatchamacallit did this, you know, who did that, and such and such, such and such. Then someone in that conversation is like, well, I remember when you did that. And then now it becomes trashy. What do you mean? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, you remember when I did that? Oh, you know, when you, and then after a while, what's going to happen because of that trashiness, someone is going to be offended.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because if someone is being offended, and then because the whole conversation was real tacky and then it became trashy, if you stay long enough, it's going to become terroristic. Now, terroristic means that there's actually some violence, some physical violence that's going to happen. Now I had thought, and I was like, no, that's not true, because every time I get, when I was kind of understanding, I was like, no, every single time I get around someone who's not white, we don't start fighting. And so one time when I was understanding the code, I said, you know what? I'm going to just see what happens. And I was just kind of just monitoring it, and I saw how it was tacky. And this is guy talk, so we're just talking, and we're talking about females, and we get the guy talking, and we're sharing this and that. And then as soon as we couldn't talk no more gossip and start getting trashy, he immediately said, man, you remember that one girl you knew? And I'm like, wait a minute. I just was like, wait a minute. Okay. And I was like, no, what? Wait, you remember that one girl, such and such, such and such? Man, I winded up such and such. I was like, now, as soon as he did that, I was like,
he had a nearly moment. You had a nearly moment.
I'm like, I could be offended right now. And I could be like, well, you know what? I did this to such and such. And then we could have went. And so then I followed through. I was like, man, you know what? Delta kind of said that. And I was like, well, you know, this happened with such and such. And I know, oh, God, it did this. He's like, wait a minute. You didn't tell me? And I'm like, what could you not? And then next thing you know, as we're going to the conversation, I'm watching. I'm like, in my head, it's like I'm like third person yet, but I'm watching. And he's, you know what? Man, well, next time I see you, man, I'm going to have some words for you. I was like, wait a minute. Time out. Wait a minute. You want to fight me as soon as I see you? Yeah, man, I can't believe you would do something. Like, man, I thought you were my boy. Yeah, you know what? I'll see you. When I see you, it's on. And I literally just like, oh my gosh, it happened.
Mm-hmm. That's everything you just said happens to me when it comes to family. When it comes to family.
Wow.
Everything you just said. That's why I was like, you know what? And ever since I've pulled back, less contact, we don't have the problems like we did before. A few words on the phone, but we don't. But the same, everything you just said with your friends happens within my family. All of them, cousins, mother, father, everybody.
Man, so how is it like at holidays or like?
Well, I don't do those no more. So that eliminates that, right?
No more holiday. Oh, explain.
No.
Why not?
Because of the drama. Because of the drama to get together. So yeah, I've stopped that. I'll send you a card. If there's, you know, somebody has a baby, I'll send you a gift. But see?
It's funny because as much as I've been trying to become codified in these last like couple years, like socially, and you know, I was kind of I can speak from this perspective now. Like I was pretty popular. And I would be out and about and very trendy and clothes and, you know, very beguiling and, you know what I mean? So I definitely would be one of those ones that, you know, at the parties. And I was in a fraternity when I was in college and I jump around party and stuff like that. So as I became more codified and more understanding, I started drawing the like literally like zero to no contact. And there's people who remember and know, and they'd be like, yo, Austin, where have you been? Or if they do bump into me, they're like, oh my gosh, like you're still in the city? I thought you moved, type of, you know what I'm saying? And so I had been, and I stick kind of just like, you know what? If I don't need to call you, then if there's nothing that I need very specifically, and I'll not interact. But I will say, though, because of social media, it does kind of create a certain level of interaction.
Yes.
I do, as human beings, like, we cannot be, you know, we're social beings. So a lot of our primordial urges are based upon our social interaction. And so social media kind of creates a platform to be social without being physically present, you know? So but what winds up happening, though, it's kind of a teeter-totter, because there are also people who are extremely recluse. Mm-hmm. And so they fulfill their connection and their interaction through that medium. But what winds up happening is when they do come around people, they're socially awkward. They don't know how to have interpersonal skills and interaction with people.
They do that on social media, Austin. Yeah. Everything you just said, they still do that on social media. People don't know how to talk to each other.
Wow. Wow.
They attack each other. You know, they you know, say things in offensive ways, and just things that they wouldn't dare say to you in your face, which causes argument. So even with social media, you have to be careful. You have to monitor how much you communicate with people on, you know, Facebook and Twitter and wherever else.
Yeah, I know you. Even this podcast is kind of a fruition, some stuff that kind of crystallized from my, you know, my social media interaction with Facebook specifically. Mm-hmm. And so, from what you have observed, what any kind of like any constructing, can you be in the code and practice you know, having some constructive activity and be on social media? Can that be like that?
Yes, I do it all the time. I ask questions. I ask questions of white people and black and non-white people. I keep it strictly on that one subject, even if we're talking about movies. You know, even a light subject, it all goes back to racism. That's what we're really talking about.
Break that down. What do you mean that's what we're talking about?
Okay, Black Panther. I could ask everybody if they saw Black Panther. Everybody's like, oh, yes, they're excited. We go right into racism. That movie was so good for that topic. It was a perfect leadway. It's the perfect leadway to talk about that. I find it for me.
You know, one thing that I had come to observe as well, and I've been saying it a lot, and even as I'm saying it, I'll be honest with you, in my back of my mind, I'm saying that, like, maybe there might be something, but it was said, quoted a counter racist logic, that every issue and problem
that is solved through racism. When they end racism.
Right. So, like, but you have to end it first. And so, I mean, and so every time, because there's people that like talking about issues. And so I was like, and every time I come across an issue and problem or someone's talking, I try to say, okay, maybe that has nothing to do with racism. Could we solve this problem and still have racism proliferating? And it was like, no. It seems like every single issue and problem, when it comes to someone who has an issue, or like a concern, or something that's really bothering us as people, whether we are white or non-white, if the problem of the race problem is not solved first, there's no way that you're ever going to be able to solve that issue. It'll always still be an issue. Like current times during right now, with this gun violence and gun control, and this is kind of like on the forefront of kind of like the social commentary of America, of this nation right now. And I was explaining, I was like, yo, there's no way that we're going to be able to deal with this gun control if we do not deal with the race problem. And now, in the recent times that has happened, the young guy that went in there and did the shooting up in Florida, now information is coming out that he spent time with a white supremacist neo-Nazi group. He did tactical military training with a white supremacy group. So before that information had came out, I was like, listen, we have to solve this race problem to deal with this gun violence and these school shootings, right? Quite a few times, you'll see they like, Austin, here you go again. Why are you talking about
racism? What's going on? Come on. Come on. Life is not that. I can't be angry. You ever get that? I can't be angry all the time. I can't hate them all the time.
And I'm like, listen, all I'm stating, and I was reiterating, but all I'm saying is that, yes, gun violence and school shootings are definitely an issue and problem. But I assure you, and I'm going to be honest with you, I literally just, I felt like I was saying it in faith, but I was like, no, this is logic. This is a computer program. It's not going to shake. And so if racism is in existence, then what you're saying right now has been tried and tested. So I was like, but I'm telling you, and the person was really kind of almost getting offended. Like, I can't believe you would say you would bring up race during this issue. Mm-hmm. The very next day, they dropped.
They found out that he was in the white supremacist group, the alt-right group. Mm-hmm.
And I posted up the article, right? And so I made sure. So I had to fact check, because sometimes, you know, there's some fake news. So I had to double fact check and cross reference to make sure that it was coming from a credible source. And it was coming from a credible source, right? And I was just like, oh my gosh. And so I just posted up the picture and I said, listen, you know how when people say, you know, I don't want to say I told you so. I don't even do that no more. I told you. I just got done telling you. But now I'm the one that's tripping. Next thing you know, now Austin. So after a while, what will happen is I could feel kind of the interaction and the chatter. So when I'll post something, it'll get a bunch of looks, it'll get a bunch of views and likes and no commentary. But I could tell when it's getting minimal views, and then there's people giving like some kind of countering, like, oh, Austin, you know what? Now you got to kind of give it a rest. And then next thing you know, literally less than 24 to 48 hours, what I was just speaking about literally comes right back up.
Now, when you seem to have, when you make comments or when you're talking to, I think his name is Mark. That, oh, I see, yeah. you get a lot of comments on that. Ooh.
Ooh. You know, man, Mark is, I'm setting it up. I'm kind of trying to lay the groundwork with the podcast interactions before Mark comes. So I'm trying to have multiple perspectives of non-white people, whether they agree with it or not, whether they believe in racism, white supremacy or not. And then I'm going to be coming with the vow. You know, not know, like, I think I know a racist white person. No, racist suspect, and who is proud to be a racist suspect, suspected card carrying member, KKK, support.
Oh, I can't wait for that conversation. That's the one I'm waiting for. Okay.
So what's going to happen is, I have like a good plethora of non-white people, and they're going to give some perspective. So I'm going to let them kind of just get it out, and then I'm going to give my little pieces here and there. But then watch what happens when we bring the Oh man, it's gonna be intense.
Yeah, because he has a counter response for everything you say. So yeah, that should be interesting. Very, very interesting.
There's even people now that I had the podcast up, they're just like, please tell me you're gonna get Mark.
Yeah, everybody's been watching that interaction. It's good. It is good.
What do you think about that? What have you has it been, at least, you know, I'll share this a little bit, but it took me time. Let me retract back. When I started to become a little bit more codified, I had realized that having social media and having a platform as individual and as unique as my own profile must be a tool to help create justice. And so I had to think that, man, what would be most constructive? Me to have an interaction with an actual white person, and for me to kind of present it so everyone who I'm following or who are following me can actually have a chance to witness what that looks like when you do it in a constructive, codified manner.
Austin, you have to give me a few lessons, because every time I talk to a white person and a non-white person witness that conversation, they attack me.
Who attacks you?
The non-white people. Wow. Look, the white people, they call out the white person, and non-white people attack me.
What do you mean by... Okay, explain that just a little bit more. Like,
okay, I'm questioning white people. I'm asking questions, trying to learn about racism. And white people will interject and tell the white person, what are you doing? That's ignorant. You're not supposed to say that. Blah, 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 blah. And then white people, non-white people will, why are you talking to that person? So what? Why are you questioning them? How dare you? They get offended. It's like they're protecting the white person.
White fragility, huh?
What is going on here? What is going on here? I'm just like, wow. Yeah. The white will definitely get on code and put that other person on code. Whenever the person is getting off code and answering my questions as honestly as they can or will, another white person comes in and say, hey, you know, you're doing this wrong.
One thing that I've seen that has helped when I'm interacting with a white person, one thing I don't do is I don't make any statements right off the bat. Like, you know, so even in the interaction and the questions that I ask that only a white person can ask. I mean, I can only answer. So if a non-white person is witnessing me interact with a white person, like perfect example, when you see me postmark, you see that when I postmark, everybody pays attention and looks, but nobody comments. Nobody interjects and nobody interrupts. Because when I post or when I tag Mark, I ask very specific questions that now that we're in a little important, he can only answer, or only a white person can answer. Now, there are white people, and I've seen this, there are white people who are following, and they'll jump in and interject. So they'll participate. And next thing you know, him and Mark, it's like Mark and the white person, they just go back and forth, and I don't even say a word. I don't even interrupt. I don't like nobody's calling. I just let the interaction happen. What happens is, I think what winds up happening, we're becoming codified and we're asking questions, I've learned to ask very poignant and specific questions that I already know only a white person can answer. So one of the questions that I use and I'll be using is, I'll ask a white person, what do you love about being white? Now, if a black person or a non-white person is white, ask a white person, what do they love about being white? There's nothing that the non-white person can do to say what I'm talking about, because one, you would have to be white.
They're not white. I asked, what does it mean to be white? Maybe I need to switch it up to what do you like? Do you love about being white? Okay.
There are tons of non-white folk who can tell you what it means to be white, and they're not even white. There are books written by non-white people about white people. So something like that, a non-white person will feel like, you know what, I can contribute to this conversation. So yes, that leaves that open for that interaction. But if a non-white person is watching, right, I'll ask, so what do you love about being white? And the non-white person will be, I can't even answer that because I'm not white, they're white. And if they see themselves as white, there's a reason why they love themselves. So let's see what they got to say.
Okay.
Asking a white person what it means to be white, you know what I'm saying? There are some non-white people who feel like, I can't help them. But, because what winds up also happening? We think, as non-white people, we think that white people do not know how to talk about themselves when it comes to racism. This white person is probably completely oblivious. They are so naive. And I'm like, wait, what did you just say? Like, wait a minute. That's why even some of the things I said, do not think for one second any white person that you come in contact with
ignorant. No.
It's ignorant to racism.
That is what I'm trying to demolish right there. Whew, my God. That word.
Man, they are not stupid.
Far from it. I ask them all the time. I ask them, at what age did you learn about racism? They tell me 5. They tell me 4. They tell me, obviously, before I was born. Obviously, you know, when I was in my mother's stomach, I'm sure mom and dad were saying something. This is what they tell you. You know what age I started learning and I'm still learning? Come on. Come on. How could you be ignorant and you starting at 4? How?
This is and then after a while, there's a couple non-white people, and what they'll do is, I'm trying to tell you, man. Like, and then if it's the other one, they're like, nah, they're not stupid and stuff like that. But man, they just kind of grew up around black people, man. They know what it is. Like, this is the one white person that I can just kind of chill and kick it with. And I'm like, you know what? I agree. You know what? I'm pretty sure I don't know that white person, so I'm not going to validate, but. If you're a non-white person, you're validating for a white person and saying that they're cool and all right. But I'll tell you this much. Is racism is still in existence? Let's say yes. Okay. Because racism is still in existence, is there a chance that that white person who grew up become racist? Is there a chance for that to happen? Well, man, yeah, there's a chance for anything to happen. No. I didn't say anything. I'm being very particular. I'm telling you, that black person who grew up around all black people, they got black kids. Nothing is reflective of being white and racist at the same time. But my question is racism still in existence? Yes. So is there a potential chance, is there someone to become racist? Yes. Okay.
Okay then.
So this is the other follow-up. That would happen. I need for you, a non-white person, not to take it personal. I need you to not be surprised. If it never happens, great. But if it does happen, and there's a problem, I'm going to need for you to not emotionally be involved. I do not need for you to have an emotional episode because a white girl that you grew up with was never racist, and then all of a sudden, one day they said something, they were kicking it with a family member, and there's something. I need for you not to be emotionally involved when it happens.
That is hard to do. That's extremely hard. That takes a lot of practice to take emotion out of the equation. It's hard.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is even, I've said that even a couple of times. I know it is hard to not be emotional when it comes to racism, white supremacy. And it's even that much more because we have been taught, you know what? It was funny. I was talking to another non-white person, and she had said, you know why white supremacy allowed, like we're talking about black people, you know why they allow like black pride to happen? Like they allow black pride, like they allow Black Panther to come out, like make no mistake. And I was like, why? Is because it'll allow them to still be connected to their emotions. So what happens is they'll create a condition that'll forcibly force them to become extremely prideful. But ultimately, what they really need is for you to be connected in your emotions. And there is no way that you could be prideful about being black or being pro-black or being black this or being Afrocentric void of your emotions. If your emotions, you would not be pro-black, because being pro-black ultimately it ultimately creates the separation that initially created the emotion.
Oh, so you're talking blasphemy, you know that, right?
Listen, yeah, there's a couple times where people will like when I'm interacting, especially like my mother. I'm gonna have my mother on the podcast.
Yeah, I should be good.
Oh, so you seen that ass from my mom?
I have. Yes, I have. Oof.
And you know, we're from New York. She's from New York. Like, she's a lawyer in New York. Like, you know, we're from you know, we're from the Bronx, man. So, and so that's intense. But you know, they'll scoff and they'll just say what I'm saying, and they'll say like, you know, you always, you know, you're on that pro black thing, and or, hey, man, you're always talking to that pro black stuff. And I have to correct them. Like, no, I'm black. And so, well, and so there's a couple times people will be like, So like, let me say this: I'm not pro black. I'm pro justice. I'm for justice. I'm not for blackness and black people. I'm for universal. I'm for being a universal human being, for being a universal man. This is an encompassing practice that can be applied to all human beings.
Wait a minute, Austin, wait a minute. But you are non-white, right? You are black, right? So why you can't be pro-black? I'm being sarcastic here.
No, but because I can't be pro-black because it's going to force me to be connected to my emotions and my feelings.
Well, what's wrong with that, Austin? Come on. What's wrong with that?
Because being connected to my emotions, my feelings will not allow me to think critically.
True.
It'll cloud my judgment. And right now, I need to be as precise and non-emotional as possible, because the issues and the mistreatment is happening at an astronomical, perverse rate. Yeah. I need to be that much more or less connected to my feelings so I can adequately look through what's going on. And this is the thing. I can appreciate. Now, this is the thing. I can appreciate being what it means to be pro-black. I understand what that means. But I also understand that you are also setting yourself up for failure, ultimately.
Hello. Hello, damn it. Hello.
You're ultimately going to set yourself up for failure, because the main constant will still be in effect. You are being pro-black within a situation that white people are in power. If I know that white people are in power and my reaction is to be anti what they are, I ultimately create the same condition and use the same tactics that they're using.
You know what I do? I ask them, I say, how long have you been pro-black? How long have you known the people around you to be pro-black? Has it ended racism yet? No? Okay, let's try something else.
Yo, and that's, I like that.
Try something else, because that's not working.
It's not working. As much as people have been pro-black, yo, you know what?
You're being proud of it. Not saying that you should be proud, but it has not ended racism yet.
No, it hasn't. Being pro-black, and this is the thing. I definitely
go ahead.
I definitely subscribed to that type of framework of thinking. And if you kind of look at my and I like my Facebook, and I like it having that documented, you kind of see kind of an overarching change in my dialogue, in my posts, and you'll see that like a year or two ago, you know what I mean, when I started becoming a little bit more codified, you start seeing that. It stopped, man. Sometimes I post up stuff about Egypt and things of that nature. I've minimized that completely. And when I interact with white people, the last thing I'm going to bring up the history of black folk in Africa, because I know that everything that has happened as relates to the development of civilization in Africa and history and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Was ultimately what has helped create this current condition. So as great as building the pyramids were, understand that everything that had happened, it says black history, Nelly Fuller had said, black history isn't to be studied to feel good. Black history is to be studied to understand what was done. Got
the mistakes. Study the mistakes.
Yeah, study the mistakes. Study the mistakes. Do you have, I have a question. Do you have any white friends?
What is that? That's an oxymoron right there, but no.
Okay, do you have any white people that you interact with on a consistent basis?
Yes.
In that interaction that you have with these white people, Is it constructive or non-constructive?
Always constructive. But okay, let me take that back. I'll say 90% constructive.
Out of this constructive interaction that you have with white people, have any of those white people that you interact giving you names, first and last names, and locations of racist white people?
No, zero, never.
So now, okay, so because you're having the interaction, you said it's constructive, but there has not, so the ultimate goal is to end white supremacy racism. You can't have racism without racists. But this interaction that you're having with white people that are almost 90% constructive, but still yet you have not been able to come up with any first or last names and locations of actual racist white
And I ask all the time because they don't want to give up their parents, they don't want to give up their friends, they don't want to give up their family. Because I ask them, I ask them, can you name? Can you give me a name? Oh, my sister, she said something once, over dinner. Okay, what's her name? Oh, why you need to know that? Hey,
Wow.
hey, hey, it's my answer.
Wow. This would I do that as well. And they ask, well, why do you want names? I said, hold with me for 1 second. Because you right now not giving any names makes you an accomplice.
That's
Let me
right.
explain. Let me explain why. If there was a crime that was committed and you saw the crime being committed, you know exactly who committed the crime. You know their name and you know where they committed. Ask you, all right, there was a crime that was committed. You told me and said that you were there. You told me you know who was there and you understand and know who, what's their names. Now, I'm telling you, there was a crime being committed. I need their names and where they can be located. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't give you the names. Well, guess what happened?
You go to jail.
You are an accomplice. You are an accomplice. That is the law. So when the crime against humanity of being racist happens, when the crime is being done by a white person, you mean to tell me you're talking someone who is not white? And the potential, you know why this is the potential why I must know? It's because I have children that are non-white. And there's a potential, again, there's a chance that my non-white children will come across that racist white person that you know, and I won't know about it, and you won't know about it. And so I need my children to know exactly when they meet such and such, such and such, no matter what they say, do not go near them. No matter what they offer you, do not accept it. No matter if they're smiling in your face, if they say they're gonna do this, if they say they do that, even if they say, man, I know my one friend that knows your dad. Listen to me. Stay away from them. Why? Because there is a white person who confirmed that they are racist. And regardless of what you say, a racist white person will mistreat any person who is not white.
That's right.
And I need to know so that I can teach my children. This is what their name is, and this is where they're located. If you ever come across this person, if you ever see this person, stay away from them. Don't accept anything that they offer you, no matter how much they say they're cool, no matter how much they say, even if they say, man, there's this, my one friend knows who your dad is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the one friend knows who your dad is. That doesn't mean anything. This is the white person you have to stay away from.
Sure. Zero people give me names, and only maybe 2% admit mother, friend, you know.
You need to get. Usually, I made this one. I had made this one post, and I said, "Man, if you have white friends, and they haven't told you who all the racist
You need to get
people
better friends. Hello.
are, you need to get better white
Say that to non-white people, and they're like, hey, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Okay.
friends." I think that one right there. I can tell sometimes when I make a post, people reading like, "Yo, what is he talking, man?" Yeah.
People get upset. People get upset.
They do, they do, but they can't get upset at me. I'm just speaking. I'm saying exactly what's in your head that you just don't know how to say. That's what the podcast says. And it's a podcast to talk about shit that black folk, you know, think about but don't know how to say when it comes to racism, white supremacy, and white people. That's exactly what this podcast is about. To really kind of, in a constructive manner, try to express some codified understanding and some logic that would
and learn from each other.
And learn from each other. And learn. Yeah. So.
So interesting. Very interesting. I'm so happy you started this podcast. I am ecstatic. Like, wow. Finally.
What did you think about the were you able to check out the other call-ins?
I listened to a little bit of one you have with somebody named start with A. I can't remember it at the moment. You were dropping this to school, but just it was a little off. Like the app kept shutting down. So right, I have
There's three segments. Like the first two are kind of like a little choppy, but when you get to the third one, it kind of coasts out pretty good. I want to give it kind of raw and kind of, yeah, like you hear me, like with my son, I'm driving my son off and stuff. So I kind of want that a little bit. I kind of want that little
That daily interaction while doing the podcast.
And also, as it relates to podcasts, you know, I like podcasts, right? And I was listening to Noriega's podcast. He has a podcast called Drink Champs, right? And one thing that he calls it guerrilla podcast, right? Where he goes to the people, so the people coming, you know. So he's having that thing, but I'm having a little bit more of my guerrilla. So I'm actually like doing the podcast while I'm in the middle of doing something. So Anchor. Because Anchor creates the platform to use through your phone, I can literally, as I'm doing the podcast, you know, have my son dropping my son off, you know what I mean? So it is much more organic.
You hear yourself and other people saying, thank you, hold the door. Okay, I got you.
Right. So the podcast itself, as it relates to the experience, becomes a little bit more intimate. Right. So it's not like, OK, we're sitting in a studio or now I'm sitting in a space and we're just talking. No. Like as we're doing the podcast, I'm up and moving and grooving because the majority of people who are listening to the podcast, they're like sitting down and they're in the stagnant. They're doing something. So they're not in the groove or given the experience of moving and bouncing around and things of that nature. So
good idea. Very good idea.
So that little piece. So I'm just gonna. It's gonna. Yeah. So as raw as it going to be, and as raw as it's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to be going on. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Car honk. You're gonna hear cars going up and down the street. I'm out and about. So yeah, this is about as raw as it gets.
No. That's what I'm. That's why you're talking and all that noise in the back, man. That is great because the more
you can hear me.
Right, it's real. Yo, real person. You're going through some real things, and as it relates to racism, like you're in the world, and so that extra additive. So, yeah.
Wow,
exactly. So.
Any other questions?
No, man. Listen, I enjoy. I want to follow up with you, and I want you to kind of because you're on the network stuff. I want you to check out some more stuff, more content. And so, what happens is we'll double back, and then we'll just kind of go over, like, you know, what did you think? How'd you feel? You know. And share like that.
Okay, no problem. I'll definitely be sending you some questions. I have plenty of, you know, ideas, and I'll be throwing them your way, okay?
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day. Bye, Austin.
All right, goodbye.